Good morning and welcome to another edition of Weekend Magazine. We have a very special guest for you today, and we have a gem of a destination. If you've never been there, you need to go. And if you have been there, wait till you hear about what's coming up. And we're going to be speaking with Dennis Wetman, who's from the Carpolis Manuscript Library Museum in Newburgh, New York. So tell anybody that doesn't know, what is this museum? What is this library?
This is a building in which exhibits are presented, selected from the private collection of David Carpolis. Carpolis is one of the major collectors of manuscript and document materials, said to have the largest collection in private hands in the country, who has, over the years, acquired 14 buildings to exhibit them in small, thematically selected exhibitions in each one, which circulate among museums. And his collection is absolutely universal in topic. It extends from antiquities of hieroglyphics from ancient Egypt to modern popular culture things, most of it probably identified with American history, but with absolutely no limits, including arts and literature and music and any topic in which he is able to find something that he considers worth presenting to the public as an example of primary documentation.
Yeah, David Carpolis was on the show once, and he said his kids, he was trying to get them interested in stuff, and, you know, they weren't showing much interest. And then something where they saw, they were in some museum, they saw, I don't know if it was an autograph of Lincoln or something, and the kids got excited about it, so he started to buy these different autographs, and then he had to house them. So all over the country, he's got sites in Buffalo and all over. Just amazing. I tell you, the best exhibit I ever saw in any museum. I've seen a lot of museum exhibits, but he had something when he first opened, and it was the 50 greatest documents in history. I got to see the Magna Carta. I saw the Emancipation Proclamation. I mean, they were all there, and it was just such an extraordinary experience. Just amazing. So I guess he pulls from different sites and then puts together a theme? Is that how he's doing it?
No, not exactly. He simply makes a selection from his own immediate private collection.
Uh-huh.
And that he expands from year to year through all the usual markets. He is always open to auctions and to dealers. And whenever he sees something that he considers of general interest, he acquires it. He is a philanthropist in this, in that there's no commercial involvement.
Yes.
All the museums are free.
Uh-huh.
And his subjects are universal.
Uh-huh.
That particular exhibit, which was before my time here, was apparently miscellaneous, but most of them are specific to a topic, or sometimes just to a person. Recently,
yes,
we had a Mark Twain exhibit, for instance.
John Paul II, there was an exhibit in Newburgh.
Yeah, that was at the very earliest time of my connection with the museum. Another mission of his, by the way, which is kind of relevant to this museum, is the preservation and presentation of impressive buildings.
Mm-hmm.
All of the museums except his home museum, which is in an office from which it all started, I guess, in Santa Barbara, are great old stately buildings. Most of them were churches.
Mm-hmm.
Ours happens to have been a bank. And they are all buildings of enough age to be somewhat threatened, so that commercial value of these buildings is hard to quantify. So he salvages them and restores them and uses them as part of his mission, as I say, to preserve.
So that was the Newburgh Savings Bank. That was there for many years.
Yeah, well, it was built in 1923, one of the grandest of these of the banks of that period, when banks were treated with a kind of reverence of sort of, you know, cathedrals to commerce, and when they represented the kind of solidity that banks had then, before money was mostly electronic.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2000, it went through a few hands. It had been the Newburgh Savings Bank. Newburgh Savings Bank is an established institution in Newburgh that goes back to the 1850s, but that bank built this building in 1923, and it lasted until the year 2000, at which point David Carpolis bought the building and established the museum in it. I might add to that while the exhibits are infinitely varied, and some are more interesting to some people than others. Nobody enters the building without being impressed by the architecture, anyway.
Oh, it's stunning. It really is. It's very nice. So you've got something special coming up. Well, actually, it started in December. End of December, was it?
No, it started the 1st of January.
It's 1st of January, okay. And what is it, and how long does it run? And tell us a little bit.
Okay, the exhibits now run for 4 months each, so there are three a year.
Okay.
And every year has one from January to April, and then May to September, whatever. And this one opened the 1st of January and will run until the end of April. And it's on the history of baseball. Mm. It's the second exhibit of baseball that the museum has had in recent years. We had another one two or three years ago, which was called The Profession of Baseball, I guess, mm. Professional Baseball, which focused on the development of baseball as a contemporary organized professional thing. The history of baseball is subtitled Documents from the Early Days of America's National Sport, and it deals with the beginnings of baseball, and it has the usual 30 or 40 items, which is the standard size of these exhibits, and it has some really remarkable early documentation and other things. Often his exhibits include not only pages with people's handwriting on them, but artifacts and, you know, three-dimensional things. And this one has some really unusual things that I'm sure nobody living has ever seen in use.
Oh, boy, tell us about those. What do you have there?
Well, among the things is a remarkable little book published in Japan and in Japanese in the 1870s, I think, on baseball, which is remarkable as an illustration of how far back and how widespread around the world the interest in baseball
Japanese
is.
Japanese love baseball, yeah.
They do now, wow. And they did apparently in the 1870s.
Wow, isn't that something?
So this is a really interesting, ancient, relatively ancient book, and 100-and-some years old, uh-huh. Baseball. There's also an early baseball, a baseball from the 1840s or 50s, before they took the exact shape and size that they have now. You know, we know what we know about baseball as kind of the standard that can't be varied very much. You couldn't have a big or a small baseball. Yeah. They are a fixed size. Yeah. But this is a baseball from, I guess, the 1870s, something like that, a little withered old black baseball that is on show.
When did baseball start? What year? How far back?
Well, baseball goes back probably hundreds of years as a sort of city lot, school game. But it was really around 1900. Actually, the National League, which was the beginning of the formal official standards of baseball, was 1876.
Okay. Wow.
And the American League started in 1901.
Okay.
And a lot of that stuff, those early days, are documented quite well here with early documents and contracts.
Were there early rule books and things like that that you have? Or?
Yeah, we have some guidebooks. We have a scorecard issued after the 1915 World Series that had among the rookies listed Babe Ruth.
Oh, wow.
Who is probably the star of this show. There's a number of Babe Ruth items, including a very rare early contract that he signed. I think perhaps his first. And I think also his last, signed in 1922.
Wow.
No, in 1935.
Do you have any pictures? Are pictures included in it?
There are no photographs, but there are some very interesting pieces of engraving of stock certificates. You know, the stock certificates used to be very elegantly designed, almost frameable things. And we've got a couple of those, the Boston Red Sox from 1905, and so on. And sort of collateral stuff as well. The guy who is supposed to have invented and designed the catcher's mitt, which is Joseph Gunson, has a long letter describing that invention by him on display. So it covers early baseball very broadly and, I think, very comprehensively. So I'm sure that any fan of baseball would be excited by this stuff. His choice of cities, the 14 cities, is seemingly fairly random. It's based mainly on where he could find grand buildings available. Mm-hmm. But as it happens, Newburgh was a peculiarly good choice because it's a very historic city.
Yeah.
And as your anecdote about his children indicate, kids are kind of fascinated, and really everybody is fascinated by something personally connected with great celebrities.
Sure.
And as you know, you're in Newburgh, aren't you?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. As you know, the crown of the major jewel of the crown of Newburgh is Washington's headquarters.
Yes.
Which is an interesting building in itself, but it's exciting because George Washington actually slept there. You know, it's got a personal contact with a great hero. And so that is exactly the principle on which people collect manuscript and documentary material, physically identified with great people in history.
Isn't that something? I know there's baseball cards. When did they start?
Well,
we
have a scorecard, uh-huh, which isn't a baseball card, from 1915 World Series, uh-huh, I think I mentioned. But we had baseball cards. We had the first one supposedly issued in the 2014 baseball exhibit. We don't have one in this particular case.
Okay, but he does collect them also then?
He collects anything, well, actually almost anything he has in the museum permanently, uh-huh, sandstone pieces with ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics in them.
Wow.
Anything with writing or something equivalent to writing, yeah, including medieval religious manuscripts and things like that.
Oh, really? Illuminated manuscripts?
Yeah.
Wow.
Not on exhibit at any, uh-huh, necessarily at any one time, but uh-huh, there have been exhibitions of that, and they're just in general part of his collection. And we've also got, incidentally, a few other subjects permanently at the museum.
Okay.
We've been talking about the baseball exhibit, which is the central exhibit, but there is a front room, which was the manager's office of the bank,
mm-hmm,
which includes a few baseball things, but also includes some things about the civil rights movement and other subjects of general interest, I think, that are in many cases part of the permanent collection. Otherwise, after the 4 months, the individual exhibit that we have is always packed up and sent to the next museum on Birkin.
So there'll always be a permanent exhibit, and then there'll be something that's there for a four-month period.
Yeah, not exactly a permanent exhibit. There will always be some things which are kept in the museum.
Sure.
They change a little bit, as the pictures on the wall do, but those things will recur. The main exhibit in the center room will change every 4 months.
Yeah.
Right?
And you'll have like a theme of music sometimes. And I mean, you've had Mozart actual manuscripts from different musicians, Beethoven and all, right?
We have had that subject.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of literary stuff. I mentioned we had Mark Twain and Charles Dickens fairly often. We also have some exhibits that are focused on art. We've had famous illustrators of books, which have included the books open to the illustrations and original paintings or drawings that were used as illustrations. And in the case of the Dickens exhibit, we had the original plate from which a print was taken for the book, for the illustration of the book, which usually never becomes available. It belongs to the printer.
Yeah, yeah. Which book was it? Do you remember offhand?
Offhand, I don't remember. It was one of Dickens' books, and it was just a well-known illustrator
that's nice.
Of Dickens.
Wow, so he's always looking for something.
Yeah, my point is, of course, that he is open to everything, and if a show isn't of particular interest because you don't like Dickens or you don't like baseball, come back and there'll be something, almost certainly something that will interest somebody.
Now, will this travel to the other sites and rotate through, or is each site like an independent exhibit?
No, that is exactly what does happen. The reason I declined the title of curator is that the curation really is done at the home office, mm-hmm, by him and his staff in Santa Barbara, and it is sent to a museum which then begins the circuit through all the other museums. So every one of the 14 museums will have this exact exhibit in its turn, and we'll have the one from the museum before us. The 14 museums have a pattern through which they circulate. So we will send it on to the next one, which we don't know yet, but which will be told. The pattern isn't always the same, but we might get it from Duluth and send it on to the next museum, whichever one they tell us to. And I don't know what the next one will be. The schedule is devised at the home office in Santa Barbara.
You must have a lot of school groups coming in for visits. Are you finding an educational market?
Yeah, in many cases, the schools, with our cooperation sometimes, develops a little program of issuing a little quiz of basic questions about the subject for the students to research with primary documents, the whole idea of illustrating.
Wow.
The idea that that's how you learn about these things is by going to the original source. Mm. So there might be a question like, when did Babe Ruth first sign a contract for the National League or something? And then the kids will have to do that primary document research.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, we do that with a few schools. And we have other groups that both of kids and of hobbyists with particular subjects in mind that are organized. And we occasionally have lectures, and we've had concerts here.
Oh, boy. So maybe we should talk about your website so people can look up what's coming up and check out, you know, so they can attend.
Well, there is a basic website for the entire chain, which is www.carpolis.com, as noted on the press release at the bottom. And that will give you 14 buttons to press. It will give you a general notice and then 14 choices of the individual museums, which are not always entirely consistent, but which will give you all the clues you need to know what is where. Mm-hmm. And what the addresses are and what the hours are and so forth.
Where are you in Newburgh?
Yeah, our address is 94 Broadway, which is on the corner of Broadway and Liberty Street.
So you come all the way through Newburgh, down Broadway to the foot, towards the foot of the...
Two blocks from the river, actually.
Okay, right.
We're on the corner of Liberty, and the next one is Grand, mm-hmm. and then it begins the slope down toward the waterfront.
And it's you've got parking right there, I think, right across the street.
Well, there is parking. There's street parking with meters.
Uh-huh.
There is side street on Liberty. You can park on the street in Broadway in front of the museum if you want to mm-hmm. pay the meters, or you can go onto Liberty where there's parking on both sides. Mm-hmm. Or if you do that and then you go right immediately, you can enter what used to be the banks and is now the museum's parking lot,
mm-hmm.
which has plenty of space, and all of which, of course, is free.
That's behind a building.
Behind or to the side of,
yeah.
You know.
Yep.
It's a corner, so.
Yep, sounds good. And what hours and days are you open? Are you open all year? What's your, you know, schedule like?
Our present schedule, as of recently, is to be open every day, 7 days a week, with the hours of 10 to 4 Monday through Saturday and 12 to 4 on Sunday.
Okay, so anybody can come on a Sunday or during a week?
Yeah, Sunday afternoon from until 4,
okay.
And any other day from 10 to 4.
Okay, now if somebody wants to bring a busload of seniors or school kids, do they have to call ahead or just show up? Or
no, that is always welcome. If someone wants to bring hundreds of people, we might have to discuss some arrangement, that because of the size of the place, it was a bank, and
uh-huh.
you can visualize the size of the major room.
Mm-hmm.
But ordinarily, 20, 30 people is no great strain,
uh-huh.
and they're always welcome. And while it's nice to be prepared for it, it isn't really necessary to get advance notice of that.
Okay. Do you have a phone number you want to give if somebody has any kind of question?
Well, just the one you just called, which is 845-569-4997.
Okay, and that's area code 845 for the listeners down in Westchester. They've got a way to reach you. They could look on the website, too.
Yeah, and let me add to that information. The general website that I gave you is www.carpolis.com, but the museum here is KMuseumNBG. That's a condensed version of the word Newburgh. N for Nancy, B for boy, G, KMuseumNBG@AOL.com.
So that's like an email address, right? They can email you. Okay, great. kmuseumnbg@aol.com.
Right.
Sounds good. So you got a lot of ways to reach you.
And a lot of ways to, or a basic way to examine the entire chain at www.carpolis.com.
That's right. Yep. Well, I'll tell you, anybody that hasn't been there, they really should come. It's a good experience, and you have such interesting exhibits. And the documents, I mean, you never would see these documents anywhere. It's really amazing, the kinds of things that are in his collection. And he was a real estate multimillionaire, I guess. So
was and is. I'm sure he is still active in development in real estate.
Yep. So I appreciate your help. We're running out of time here. Let's give that website one more time and the phone number one more time. And
okay. Well, the general website, which will plug you into all the museums, including this one, is www.carpolis. That's K-A-R-P for Peter, E-L-E-S. com.
Okay, and 569-4997. Dennis, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your new exhibit. It sounds really wonderful, and I'll stop in and see it. I like your hours Monday to Saturday. Every day of the week, pretty much, you're covered, so that's wonderful.
Well, I thank you for calling, and please do come in, and I hope all your listeners will as well.
Fantastic. Happy New Year.
Thank you. The same to you. I appreciate your help. Thanks.
Yep. Well, that's a wrap for this week. The Carpolis Museum really has some wonderful exhibits, so you need to check every quarter and see what's happening. So this is Marietta Allen. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.